Welcome to part three of John Wesley's journal, brought to you by David Mackworth. We've been considering how John Wesley had gone to America to be a missionary to the North American Indians, and during his short time there, he had learned much about himself. Most importantly of all, he had learned that despite being a minister of religion, he himself was not truly a Christian and was not truly saved from his sins. We've seen how he fled America, and we've seen how God was working in his heart, and God was dealing with him, preparing him for the day when he would find that true salvation by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart as his Saviour. Well, we are in February 1738, and this is February the 1st. Wesley is 34 years old. It is now 2 years and almost 4 months since I left my native country in order to teach the Georgian Indians the nature of Christianity. But what have I learned of myself in the meantime? Why, what I least of all suspected, that I who went to America to convert others was never myself converted to God. I am not mad, though I thus speak, but I speak the words of truth and soberness, if haply some of those who still dream may awake and see that as I am, so are they. So many who think they're Christians who aren't. Are they read in philosophy? So was I. In ancient or modern tongues? So was I also. Are they versed in the science of divinity? I too have studied it many years. Can they talk fluently upon spiritual things? The very same could I do. Are they plenteous in alms? Behold, I gave all my goods to feed the poor. Do they give of their labour as well as of their substance? I have laboured more abundantly than they all. Are they willing to suffer for their brethren? I have thrown up my friends, reputation, ease, country. I have put my life in my hand, wandering into strange lands. I have given my body to be devoured by the deep, parched up with the heat, consumed by toil and weariness, or whatsoever God should please to bring upon me. But does all this, be it more or less, it matters not, make me acceptable to God? Does all I ever did or can know, say, give, do, or suffer, justify me in his sight? Yea, or the constant use of all the means of grace, which means communion, which nevertheless is meet, right, and our bounden duty, or that I know nothing of myself, that I am as touching outward moral righteousness blameless, or, to come closer yet, to having a rational conviction of all the truths of Christianity. Does all this give me a claim to be holy, heavenly, the divine character of a Christian? By no means. If the oracles of God are true, if we are still to abide by the law and the testimony, all these things, though it, when ennobled by faith in Christ, they are holy and just and good, yet without it are dung and dross, meet only to be purged away by the fire that never shall be quenched. This, then, have I learned in the ends of the earth, that I am fallen short of the glory of God, that my whole heart is altogether corrupt and abominable, and consequently my whole life, seeing it cannot be that an evil tree should bring forth good fruit, that, alienated as I am from the life of God, I am a child of wrath, an heir of hell, that my own works, my own sufferings, my own righteousness are so far from reconciling me to an offended God, so far from making any atonement for the least of those sins, which are more in number than the hairs of my head, that the most specious of them need an atonement themselves, or they cannot abide his righteous judgment, that having the sentence of death in my heart, and having nothing in or of myself to plead, I have no hope but that of being justified freely through the redemption that is in Jesus. I have no hope but that if I seek, I shall find Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, Philippians 3 verse 9. If it be said that I have faith, for many such things have I heard from many miserable comforters, I answer, so have the devils, a sort of faith, but still they are strangers to the covenant of promise. So the apostles had even at Cana in Galilee, when Jesus first manifested forth his glory. Even then they in a sort believed on him, but they had not then the faith that overcometh the world. The faith I want is a sure trust and confidence in God that through the merits of Christ, my sins are forgiven and I reconciled to the favour of God. I want that faith which St. Paul recommends to all the world, especially in his epistle to the Romans, that faith which enables everyone that hath it to cry out, I live not, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want that faith which none can have without knowing that he hath it, though many imagine they have it who have it not. For whosoever hath it is freed from sin. The whole body of sin is destroyed in him. He is freed from fear, having peace with God through Christ, and rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And he is freed from doubt, having the love of God shed abroad in his heart, through the Holy Ghost which is given unto him, which Spirit itself beareth witness with his spirit that he is a child of God. Wednesday, February the 1st, 1738. After reading prayers and explaining a portion of Scripture to a large company at the inn, I left Deal and came in the evening to Feversham. I here read prayers and explained the second lesson to a few of those who were called Christians, but were indeed more savage in their behaviour than the wildest Indians I have yet met with. Friday the 3rd of February. In the evening I came once more to London, whence I had been absent 2 years and near 4 months. Many reasons I have to bless God, though the design I went upon did not take effect for my having been carried into that strange land, contrary to all my preceding resolutions. Hereby I trust he hath in some measure humbled me and proved me and shown me what was in my heart. Indeed he had. Hereby I have been taught to beware of men. Hereby I am come to know assuredly that if in all our ways we acknowledge God, he will, where reason fails, direct our path by lot or by the other means which he knoweth. Hereby I am delivered from the fear of the sea, which I had both dreaded and abhorred from my youth. Hereby God has given me to know many of his servants, particularly those of the church at Herrnhuth. That'll be the Moravians who are so important in influencing Wesley towards the gospel. Hereby my passage is open to the writings of holy men in the German, Spanish and Italian tongues. I hope, too, some good may come to others hereby. All in Georgia have heard the word of God. Some have believed and begun to run well. A few steps have been taken towards publishing the glad tidings both to the African and American heathens. Many children have learned how they ought to serve God and to be useful to their neighbour. And those whom it most concerns have an opportunity of knowing the true state of their infant colony and laying a firmer foundation of peace and happiness to many generations. Sunday the 5th. In the afternoon I was desired to preach at St. John the Evangelist's. I did so on those strong words, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I was afterwards informed by many of the best in the parish. I was afterwards informed many of the best in the parish were so offended that I was not to preach there any more. For preaching, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Tuesday the 7th. A day much to be remembered. At the house of Mr. Wynance, a Dutch merchant, I met Peter Bowler. Peter Bowler, who was to be so important in influencing him. Julius Richter and Wenzel Nieser, just then landed from Germany. Finding they had no acquaintance in England, I offered to procure them a lodging and did so near Mr. Hutton's, where I then was. And from this time I did not willingly lose any opportunity of conversing with them while I stayed in London. Well, we'll leave that there for this episode, but you can see how God is working in Wesley's heart, doing a deep and very thorough work. Wesley has learned his own failings. He's learned that he's a sinner. He's learned that he can give his goods to the poor and give himself up to the flames, and yet that won't save him. He is looking for a free and a full salvation, yet he hasn't yet fully closed with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching and teaching, and even under his preaching, some people have found the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems. But he who has taught others has yet himself to find that salvation that comes from God through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And we'll carry on reading in the future episodes and we'll discover how Wesley was converted. This man was an extraordinary man. He was used extraordinarily by God. And as we get into the details of this journal, we'll read amazing things, remarkable things that took place in his life and in his preaching of the gospel up and down England and Wales and other places. He never returned to America, but in America God taught him his own sinfulness and his own need of salvation.